Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Ferrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Ferrell on the bench with you. 844-843-6879. I'm watching the Lakers and Blazers. Of course, every Laker game's on national television every night. So you either like the Lakers or you put up with them, one or the other. If you want to watch NBA basketball, you're forced to watch the Lakers. That's it. That's all they show every night. So, you know, you're either all in and you become a fan of their team, or you watch them to hate them and root for them to lose. Or you have the in-game action that Mafia has going right now, which includes he got them as a pick'em when they were losing, and now they're winning. Now it's tied, but there's five left in the half, and it's a tie game, and it's a good game. And the Lakers need this game tonight. They're desperate, if you ask me. They've lost, you know, four in a row, five of six, and I mean, they got to win, and it's no different than Boston tonight. They had to win. They've been losing left and right. They've been pointing fingers. They've been blaming. You know, it's unbelievable to me, that whole Boston situation, because they literally blame everyone except Stevens. They blame Danny Ainge. They blame the COVID. They blame the weather. They blame injuries. They blame Smart not being in the lineup. You name it, they blame him. And Kemba Walker missed a bunch of time. He looked great tonight, by the way. He had a big game. You know what the problem is with Kemba Walker is that he's got this gigantic contract. He's in the second year of it, like $140 million. And his knee has been a problem, and he just hasn't been good at all. I mean, I thought he looked good in the playoffs last year. I thought he, in the bubble, he lit it up with Tatum and Brown and Smart. I thought the four of them lit it up. That's why they went as far as they did. But this year, that knee seemed to be activated and giving him problems. And it was a live wire. And then he was out, and then Smart was out. I think that's a big problem. And when you lose the productivity that Walker was giving you and Smart was giving you, and then they're out for an extended period of time, and then when they come back, they're not right. You know what I mean? They're at 75, 80%. They're not at 100%, and they're trying to get their game back on and their flow back on, their burn back on, their cardio back on, their, you know, basketball run legs type thing. Then you saw it in his game. He wasn't performing like usual, like he normally does, right? And then tonight he broke out. And I watched the game. Not that I bet on the Celtics tonight. It wasn't like I wanted to watch him. I'm not a fan of theirs at all. I've never liked them, ever. It's funny. I never rooted for them in my entire life. I can't stand them. But I always thought that Larry Bird was the best player I ever saw. Like, just do everything. Shooting, scoring, talking trash, defending, passing, rebounding, the complete player. We welcome in our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 204, our satellite partners, Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana. Do you wanna? Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline, and Armed Forces Radio all over the world. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on a bench on a pain-free Friday with Mafia tonight. So anyway, a Walker with the season high 32, so he lit it up tonight. He had 32, 3-6, 4 three-pointers, 10 of 19 from the floor. Big game for Kemba Walker finally. And then they get, Tatum did nothing. He had 9. Thompson did nothing as usual. I think he sucks. I really do. That's one of their problems. In my opinion, if you go back to when they got rid of Horford, and Horford has not been good in Philly or in Oak City, if you ask me. I know they say, oh, he's this great veteran presence. He teaches the kids so much. You know, I'm sick of hearing that in the NBA, teaching the kids something. Are you kidding me? When you're getting paid millions of dollars to play in the NBA, even if you're in your first or second year, you're not a kid anymore. I know they keep trying to sell you that they're kids. Kids are in college, okay? I know there's young kids playing in the NBA, but when you're in the NBA now and you're getting paid that much money, even if you're a rookie, your rookie deal, even the signing bonus and the money you get if you're a first or, you know, round draft pick or second even, you're going to get paid. So all I know is I'm sick of hearing, you know, he's there to help the young kids and to teach. Shut up. I don't want to hear it. Bottom line is they got rid of him. They got rid of Hayward. They got rid of Scary Terry. And they suck for it. That's why. All their best players are gone. Kyrie Irving. All those guys they got rid of. Danny Ainge got rid of them. And they all went. And the Celtics, the end game, the result was equation suck. You suck because all your best players are gone.
Your search is over.
You found it.
What you've been looking for.
The definitive culmination of the state of the art of sports talk.
This
is the Winning Edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So I'm watching Marc Gasol on the Lakers. He's played 9 minutes, no points. And right now they're losing by 4 to the Dame Blazers. Dame time, son. All I know. And then there's Gasol getting fouled under the basket, so he'll go to the line. And I was just thinking to myself about him. And in essence, I think that from his time in Toronto, right? Would you argue with this, Mafia, that like that guy, when they won it in Toronto, that was the last time he was good. That was it. Like, I'll just shorten this. That was the last time he was good. Because I don't think he's done anything with the Lakers. Am I tripping? Has he done?
No, I agree with you. I mean, he's not there to really be a huge piece. He's there for minutes and maybe the occasional 3 or 2 from outside, but he's definitely not there to be a major cog in that one. I mean, honestly, I didn't even think he did much on that title run. I thought it was more Ibaka. You know, I was saying at that point, it's like, why is Ibaka coming off the bench? You know, start him and have this guy coming off the bench.
Well, I mean, like, my thing is, like, he just hit the free throws. But here's the deal. It's like, am I crazy? Or did they, like, in the offseason, they won the title and they went out and got Marc Gasol and Dennis Schroeder, right? That's what they did. And Harrell. Well, I love Harrell. Harrell is, in my opinion, way better than Gasol. Now, I won't deny at all that Marc Gasol had a good career. He had a good career. I think he earned his money. And I thought he played great up there. And I just think those days are over. Now, I could be wrong. I could. I'm wrong 30 times a day, Mafia. I left my car running for 20 hours. Stoner move. But I will tell you, I do think, you know, he could burn me in a playoff game or something. He could have like a big, you know, he's a guy. If I'm playing them, I'm not worried about him, right? I'm worried about LeBron and Davis. And, you know, I'm even worried about some of their other pieces, you know. Schroeder, I'm worried about. You know, you could be worried about a lot of things on the Lakers, to be honest with you. And he's not one of them. So my point being that, like, if he's not one of them, I don't think he's part of their plan. And I don't think defenses are planning for some big onslaught from Marc Gasol. So what I would do is, you know, in a playoff game, no one's going to guard him, and he's going to be standing alone under the basket getting easy buckets and dunks. And then he's going to get fouled and get and ones. I bet he's still got a big game or two in him in his career, but I don't think he's ever going to be a consistent nightly factor of productivity. But I think he could have a day. You know, I think he could have a, let's say, a game four, game three, maybe game five type situation where he'd be like the last guy you'd be worried about, and all of a sudden the guy's got 18. You know what I mean? But I don't think he's am I tripping? I don't think he's worth anything more than that anymore.
No, he's definitely not. I agree with you 100%. I mean, look who he's replacing, too. I mean, he was replacing, you know, McGee and Howard. You know, and those guys weren't really consistent or being part of the offense either. I mean, they were there for rebounding and defense, and that's basically what he's there for. And he has a little bit more of an, you know, extra dimension with the occasional three. Now, those guys probably are a little more athletic at this point in their career than he is. You know, he's a little slow and, you know, just fat. But you know what? He's still a big body. He's still a tough body. He's still a guy that'll get physical. So, you know, and then, like I said, every now and then he'll give you that pop. So he's replacing, like, those guys combined with replacing Danny Green. And I think he's going to fill that role perfectly in the playoffs.
He can shoot. He can shoot a three. We've seen him hit threes, a lot of them. But he, you know, those guys, obviously McGee and Howard don't do that. But no one can deny what Dwight Howard did for the Lakers last year on that title run was enormous. And the proof is that he got a fat deal in Philadelphia to play for the Sixers for 2 years. And he won a ring with the Lakers and said, see you later. Like, I'm taking the money, because they weren't going to pay him. And he was, you know, he had a lot of double-doubles. He is still, I watched him play last night or whatever it was. And in that game against Dallas, when he shut down, when Simmons shut down Luka, I'm sitting there watching them. And I mean, you can say whatever you want, but that team. I mean, what do you think of them, Mafia? When you watch that team play, Philly, are you enamored with them at all? Do you think they're as good as everybody else thinks they are with JoJo and Simmons? And you know, you've watched them. What do you think of that team?
Yeah, listen, I've always been a guy who's, you know, not believed in Philly because of their track record in the playoffs, and they have, you know, just flopped. They've been awesome in the regular season, but both those guys have gotten banged up a number of times, especially Embiid. He's always hurt no matter how many times he comes back or he loses weight or he's doing this right or that. He's always hurt, and that's just going to be something I think that plagues him his whole career. He's incredible when he's in there and he's good, but, you know, you can't count on him. But I think they are definitely better this year. I think this is not the same team. I think Rivers has made a difference as the coach. I think that, you know, some of these guys that they've had that are role players are stepping up more this year. I just still don't know if I believe that they're going to be the best team in the East when it comes down to it, because I can't trust those guys to stay healthy. And if they're not healthy, that's a big problem. You know, you lose, even if Justin Bede isn't healthy. You know, while Simmons is a great defender right now with that length and how well he's, you know, focusing on that end of the ball, he's still not a great shooter. So if you lose Embiid, you lose a lot of the offense there.
So, you know, I was watching Howard, I was saying, watching him play. And the other night against the Mavericks, he had a good game. He had like 14 points, 8 boards. He played, you know, his usual 15, 16 minutes. But the bottom line is he's backing up Embiid. And I thought he did really well with the Lakers. And I won't deny Gasol's better than him overall game. He's got better overall game. But I will say, for an old guy now, which is reality, which is life, everybody keeps aging every minute. All I know is I still think Dwight Howard is better athletically, without a doubt, than Gasol. I still think, even at his age, he's a better athlete, and he still gets up and down better. He runs better. He jumps better. He blocks shots better. He rebounds better than Gasol. To me, tell me if I'm wrong, Gasol to me is just kind of fat now. And he doesn't matter.
He absolutely is. He is. And, you know, the big thing, too, is that says a lot about how Dwight Howard's recommitted himself to this game and to being a pro and to, you know, rebuilding himself, because, you know, that guy was banged up worse than Embiid was. Now, that guy was always hurt in the first couple of years, you know, after he left Orlando, went to the Lakers and Houston, right. Like those years, he was always off the floor, even more than Embiid is. So for him to now, you know, have gotten at his age back into shape and feeling good and, you know, actually contributing to these teams consistently and being there, that's even more of a testament to, you know, the growing up that he's done.
What do you think he did? Do you think he just started shredding weights and hitting the gym, eating the right diet, whatever? I mean, how do you think he went from being so, you know, constantly injured to playing every night? He doesn't have a problem anymore.
It's a number of things. You know, I think he's definitely recommitted himself and focused himself. Probably he's eating better and, you know, just changing his lifestyle from what he had before. But I mean, the guy was always shredded. That was never a problem for him. You know, he had the Superman thing going because he was ripped beyond belief, but I just think he was just not taking care of himself, right? And, you know, it's a lot different when you're out there having to bang around with those guys down low for, you know, 40 minutes a game, as opposed to now when he does it 20, 15, like the lack of, you know, the consistent game in, game out playing time that he had as a starter and as a main piece for every team, I think has helped him survive a lot longer.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So I've done the entire show without my glasses, and I just wanted to say that I've been unable to see anything. Gasol's averaging 4 points a game, though. That's all you need to know. Steel Panther Mafia is playing Steel Panther. And I thought of you, girl. The Dragon with a 26 spot tonight, Mafia. Your boy, Goran Dragic, is the Heat. Get it done.
Listen, your boy doesn't get enough credit there. I mean, everyone talks about all those guys, and Adebayo, Butler, like, obviously those guys are awesome, hero, and shoot the ball like crazy, you know, Robinson. But, I mean, that guy is the cog that makes it go. He's the glue that holds it together. You know, he takes the pressure off those guys and just makes it all flow so much better, as you can see, with them beating the freaking Jazz as opposed to the other teams that they couldn't even compete against before he was out.
Yeah, he came back. He's been out forever with the problems with his ankle. And then he comes back, and he's I think he's played a couple games. I think he played earlier in the week. I think it was the other night he came back. And then, but he had a 26 spot tonight against the best team in the NBA, the Jazz. Let's just face facts. They are. They're the best team. They got the best record. They're kicking everyone's ass. And then tonight they get punched in the mouth in South Beach. They went out on Collins Ave, and they looked at the wrong girl, and they got punched right in the mouth by the Dragon. Joe Lisi is with us. Gopher to two, your boy. You'll see him on In-Game Live tomorrow night. Hell, I think he's on all day. I can't even keep track of all of it. But we like to have Joe. He's on noon to three. Is that the whole deal, or is he on at night too? Just the
two
afternoon.
To five
hey,
tomorrow,
Joe.
Scotty.
What is it, two to
two
five?
Two to five tomorrow. Yeah.
Mafia can't even get it straight. Nice job, Mafia. Anyway, and Mafia, you're on with Joe tomorrow, right? On Sports Grid.
Yeah, I better get the time straight because I'm on with him his last hour tomorrow, so I better not mess that up.
Yeah, you might want to not screw that up, like, in terms of everything. Joe, so what I wanted to say to you was, like, I was thinking earlier at, like, I don't know, 5 to 10 in the East. I'm sitting there watching the Celtic game, and I thought, oh, man, we forgot to ask Joe if he wanted to do all the Saturday and Sunday games on the show this week. And then I said to Mafia, call Joe up and see if he wants to do all the Saturday and Sunday games last minute. And then we got you. So we got lucky. And then you're even working tomorrow. So you took the time out of your pain-free Friday night to come on with us and start raging about all the games tomorrow. And I want to get into it, but I just wanted to hit you with a couple of the games tonight and see what you thought of those outcomes before we get into all the games tomorrow. So one of which, and I think they're playing again this weekend, is Utah State and Nevada. I think are playing again tomorrow night, same place up in Logan, whatever. And they beat them 75-72. Nevada covered. I had Nevada. I knew that was going to be a great game. Do you think the game tomorrow will be as good as this one tonight?
I think it will be. You know, a very close game. It sort of resembled this game tonight, sort of resembled the Boise State San Diego State game from last night, right? A very close game when it's overtime. Yeah, San Diego State. What a killer. I got a story about that. But I mean, San Diego State pulled away in overtime. But I think it'll be a very close matchup. You know, defensively, the way Nevada played tonight, I mean, you know, they played well. And I think it'll be a close game. I'm sort of leaning to the underdog there tomorrow, just because, you know, I like the points. And, you know, after a game like this, so quick in terms of a turnaround, I'm going to take the points in tomorrow's matchup.
Yeah, I hit with them tonight, as a matter of fact. I want to go, I hit with them tonight, and I think I'm leaning on them again tomorrow in terms of what Nevada did with the spread. I had Utah State winning and the other side, Wolfpack covering. I think the same thing could happen tomorrow. But I like your thought that you think Nevada might win that game outright. Let me throw this at you. That game last night, I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. I had Boise and 7, okay? So when the kids stepped on the line and shot that 3, and you know as well as I do, his toe was on the line. I mean, come on.
Right.
The guy's looking at, how did the refs go stand for 5 minutes and watch the replay and then come back and say that was a 3? Because the game should have ended 63-62 right then and there. Instead, they go to overtime. They scored twice. They had one bucket, and they scored a bucket. That was it, 2 points in the whole overtime, unless I'm crazy. Meanwhile, San Diego State poured it on and scored like 14 or something like that, kicked their ass. That was a one-point game, not a 12 or 14-point game. I thought Boise played their ass off, but I thought they lost by one, and then they end up getting blown out.
Yeah, unbelievable. Scott, I have a story about that. I mean, you're absolutely right. His toe was on the line. They reviewed it for like three different times. Every angle, you could see that the tip of his toe was on the line, and then they said it wasn't, you know, conclusive, and they called it a 3. But, I mean, I was out last night, right? So I love the over in the Knick game. So I parlayed it at dinner. I put in a 14 parlay, right? I put in game. I take the over in the Knick game. I take Michigan. I took an underdog. I forget who I took. Oh, I took whoever played Gonzaga last night. I took
Santa Clara covered the 31.
Santa Clara plus 18.5, Scotty. I laid 12.5 with San Diego State when they were up 42-30. Okay? 12.5. They fouled the guy in overtime. They were up 13. The kid misses 2 free throws and then nails the third one. Why is he nailing the third one? It was unbelievable. I lost a 14 parlay by a half. Unreal. It's crazy. It was crazy. I didn't even want to watch it. I just threw it in for giggles, and sure enough, it has a chance to win, and they fouled the guy with 10 seconds left on a 3-pointer. He misses
the
first 2 free throws. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Brutal. Brutal. So I lost the bet, too. So really what matters, though, Joe, is did you get any leg at dinner?
No, Scotty. I'm on, you know, it's crazy. Back-to-back nights. Tonight I'll tell you this, though. Last night it was just, you know, I just said, you know what, it's late. I want a salad. Let me go. Right. I went to Fridays last night, right? I watched the games. Tonight I'm like, I'm craving meatloaf. I went out. There's a great place in Freehold, New Jersey, Moore's. Great meatloaf, Scotty. Meatloaf and mashed potatoes. Unbelievable.
I think I know that place. Yeah, I know that place.
Oh, it's great. Great atmosphere. But it clears out by 10:30, 11 o'clock. I got to be in bed.
Jesus, Joe, you're creeping me out, man. You got to be in bed. I mean, like, I'm going to be in bed
saying,
with
they close
three chicks.
No, I would trust
Come
me.
On.
There you go, Scott. I need to be a groupie. That's it. Next thing you know, once they open things up, we got to go out. That's it. I'm going to wear the leather pants with the freaking platform shoes like Gene Simmons.
Listen to him, Mafia. That's your boy, Joe Lisi. All right. What else? I'm just looking up. I'm streaming this. So I thought the St. Louis-Richmond game was good. St. Louis beat them by 5. And I think that number landed at 4.5 or 5, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, St. Louis, didn't they foul with like 10 seconds left to win by 5? I mean, it was a terrible foul, wasn't it? If I'm not mistaken,
yeah,
at the end of the game.
I can tell you. Well, I know the line moved when I was doing Coast to Coast today. The line moved, but I had it at because I was on that game today. I had Richmond in 5, so I pushed. I had St. Louis winning and Richmond in 5, and I said exactly that. I said it's going to be a good game. It's going to be close, and sure enough, it was. Now I don't remember. I'll be honest with you. I don't remember if they play again tomorrow, like over the weekend, you know, like a lot of these schools are doing. They're playing the doubleheaders.
Right.
I don't know if they are. I'd have to look it up, and there's 5 million games. So if I start looking it up now, Joe, I'll fall in. I won't even remember I'm talking to you. All right. So Purdue, they won at Penn State tonight. That was good. And then Cincinnati beat Tulane by 20. Indiana State beat Valpo. Mm-hmm. And that was it. Now, Fresno beat UNLV the other night, whatever. And then they were getting 6 tonight, and they're winning again right now, early in, halfway through the first half, whatever, right? It's 19-13 or something, Fresno State. So do you think they can beat them again at the Thomas and Magic? Going to beat them twice?
Yeah, I think when you have this quick turnaround, teams that, you know, play well against a certain matchup, they can't make adjustments quick enough. They're up 28-17 right now,
right,
Fresno State
right.
is. I mean, you know, and the in-game number right now, Scotty's 4.5, you know, for the Bulldogs. I mean, you know, they're playing very well. It's so hard for these college kids to make adjustments, in, let alone after a team they lose to in a week, let alone a couple of days. You know, and I think that's what you're seeing right now with these college matchups. If a team has a good matchup and a good scheme, and they could shoot lights out like Fresno State's doing, they're going to be very difficult to put away. And that's what UNLV is struggling with right now. Now up 30-17 in the first half.
Listen, if Mafia and I were in Vegas right now, and you were with us, Joe, because we're there all the time, and we'd be doing like boxing. And it'd be Friday night, and the fight Saturday night. You know, Mafia and I'd be over there. Mafia'd have a big old tumbler of beer going at the Thomas and Mac. We'd be watching the Rebels and the Dogs. We'd have our legs up on the row in front of us. When we come back with Joe Lisi, Mafia's already on his 5th beer, and he's spilling on me. We're going to talk about Saturday and Sunday games with Joe Lisi and see where he's going with his money and his wallet. In college rack on a bench.
As you continue listening to Sports Grid, ask yourself
and be honest,
am I listening
enough?
Probably not.
16 hours a day.
That's all we ask. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
That was actually Mafia in his garage right now playing with his garage band in Jersey. Here, let me turn down the Laker game. I got a lot of money invested in that game. I got to turn that off. I got a lot of action going SoCali on your Lakers. I got it all going tonight. And then We love you out in Southern California, everywhere else, on all of our affiliates everywhere. It's Pharrell on a Pain-Free Friday. We're talking to Gopher to your boy, Joe Lisi, getting ready for in-game live tomorrow, checking out at 2 to 5. Mafia will be on with him. And I wanted to talk to him about who he likes in all these big games on Saturday and Sunday. There's not many on Sunday, and I'll go through the ones on Saturday that matter. Don't you think Michigan's going to kick Indiana's ass, even though they're playing at Assembly Hall? Don't you still think Michigan just takes them to the woodshed?
No. This is one of my best bets tomorrow. You're going to laugh. I mean, I think, you know, Michigan right now playing lights out. But I look at this three-game stretch emotionally. Wisconsin, Ohio State, Iowa. Now they got to go on the road to Indiana. I mean, I think they win. But I'm taking the 8, 8.5. The FanDuel had 8.5 about an hour ago. It's back down to 8. I like Indiana to cover this game, Scotty. Backs against the wall, bad performance against Michigan State. Great call by you last week. Dead on, you said Michigan State was the more physical team. I didn't buy it. But I think in this spot, an emotional letdown for Michigan. Very hard to get up 4 straight games in a row. So I'm taking the Hoosiers plus the points.
Yeah, you know, I think they're just flat out better. I think their inside game's better. I know that Indiana is constantly bragging about this Jackson kid. There's no doubt he's good. He's big, 6'9", whatever. He produces for them without a doubt. But I see why he's like, people are saying he's late second round because he can't shoot from outside, even though they said this year he had worked on his outside shot. That's all that mid-range shot he had to get it to, you know, go to the next level and be effective in the NBA. And you know as well as I do, if he isn't dunking or finger rolling it off the glass, he ain't doing anything else. He's rebounding, blocking shots, whatever, but he can't shoot that 15 to 18 footer, 20 footer. He just flat out can't. I got a problem with them. Rutgers kicked their ass, and I bet on Rutgers in that game. Indiana, I'm still trying to figure out how they won at Carver Hawkeye in Iowa City and then beat them again at Assembly. Now, you might be right because they beat Iowa there, so they might be able to beat Michigan or hang with them and cover the 8. I still feel my best money's on Michigan to destroy them by 10 or more because they're just better. At every stretch of the floor on both ends, they move the ball better. They're better defensively. They're better inside. That kid, that big white boy they got, he's violent, and he hangs on the rim. And I think he's like Lane Beer in terms of his body against, you know, I think Jackson's incredible. He's fast, athletic, whatever. But this other guy doesn't care about any of that. He's like, give me the pill. Boom, I'm going to dunk it and hang on the rim, and I'm going to swing, and my big belly's going to smack you in the face.
He does run like Lane Beer, too. I watched the game last night. You're right. He is, you're absolutely right. I mean, I could see both sides coming out. I just feel like, you know, you bet against Michigan once, you bet against them twice. People tripled down against, you know, Michigan last night with Iowa, and now it's a letdown spot. So we'll see. I mean, you know, 8 is still a big number to cover in college hoops. They might win by double digits, but I'm inclined to take your Hoosiers with the points. I'm going to close my eyes. Probably won't even watch the game because I don't want to get aggravated. So I'll just bet them and close my eyes and hope they
cover. We'll see. All right, let's throw some of these other ones at you. Florida State playing in Chapel Hill, laying 3. I got it at 1 when it came out. And I think Florida State's flat out better than North Carolina. I don't care if they play in their girlfriend's house. I don't care where they play it. I think Florida State's better.
They are better. And I bet this game in Tallahassee, they were catching 6. They lost by 7. And that was right around the time that North Carolina found their groove, right? They just all of a sudden steamroll people. Playing as good as anybody right now. 45-point win over Louisville. I know Louisville didn't play in a month. It's a tough game. I mean, I would lean to Florida State, but I don't like this game either way. I might bet it from an in-game perspective, but I'd be inclined to lay the 3 points with Florida State. More athletic, better perimeter shooting. Still not buying into North Carolina's game.
How about North Carolina? They got absolutely had their girlfriends cheat on them with Marquette. Like the whole team was making a French kissing. with the other team's girlfriends and cheerleaders. I mean, they went in there and beat their ass. And that team sucks. And they went in and beat right. North Carolina's ass. That's all I need to know. Kentucky's hosting Florida at Rupp. And they're laying 2.5, 8-13, favored by a bucket and a half against a 12-win Florida team. I still like Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm with you. Kentucky, again, the Blue Bloods are starting to play now, right? That victory last week against Tennessee showed me something. They dominated. They have a perimeter game with Mintz. You can't go against them now. Now they're on fire. They're starting to find their groove. I'm not going to buck that trend. Even though Florida got a quality win last Saturday over Auburn, I'd lay the 2.5 for Kentucky.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that game with Florida last week in Auburn, I don't care what anybody says, that was the dirt on Auburn's coffin. That was the guy yep. coming in after the funeral and pouring the dirt in and finishing off the top. Like, that guy's busy. And that was Auburn. When I saw, and then they said the other night that Cooper didn't play and all the rest. They're done. Okay, done.
Yep.
Fork. Put a fork yep. in them. Duke and Louisville at Cameron Indoor tomorrow. What do you think?
Well, that's a tough one. You know, again, that Duke lost by 5 on the road. You know, that's a tough one. I don't
You're
know
suffering.
If I'm buying into Duke here. I know. I would take Louisville there. I don't love the game, though, Scott. That's one game I'm not leaning to, you know, because Duke's been hot. I was on them against Virginia last Saturday, but now this is a game I think Louisville matches up well with them.
Did you hear, Mafia, did you hear me? He's like, when I said Duke-Louisville at Cameron Indoor, and he went, oh.
Like, I know, just, because just I, thought that, you were, I thought you were going to go to 10. You know why?
Got
I thought
indigestion.
You were going to go with the Auburn. I thought he was going to go with Tennessee-Auburn because that's a game I actually like. Because
yeah.
I buy into the Scotty sentiments. I think they're done. They were done when they got blown out by LSU a couple of weeks
yeah.
ago. I was on LSU Auburn. They threw in the towel then.
Right. Tennessee, I'm on in that game. Duke, I took Duke to win, Louisville to cover the number. I just think it'll be, for some reason, I think it'll be, you know, there's no more football. I mean, there's Division II football, but there's no more football. And when there's no more football, I got to have at least 2 or 3 really good games in college basketball to keep me horny. I need to stay
okay.
on edge. I hope Duke-Louisville lives up to that. All right. I want to keep going here. Texas and Texas Tech in Lubbock. And I think Texas
right.
Tech can beat Texas in Lubbock with McClung and company. This is going to be a really tight game. The number's 3.
Yeah, Texas is weak. After that performance last week, they let me down. Texas Tech, the more physical team, the tougher team. I know they're coming off a couple of losses, but at home, they need this game. I'm laying the 3 with Texas Tech. That's one of my better plays, Indiana and Texas Tech tomorrow. Really like the Red Raiders. Not sold on the physicality of Texas, just like their football program. They're weak.
Weak and feeble. All right, real quick, Illinois, Wisconsin. Wisconsin's laying 3.5 in Madison. And I don't understand that at all. I think they suck. I think Illinois can go in there and beat their ass. I'll take that 3.5. And who do you like, LSU, Arkansas, and Fayetteville? Arkansas is laying 4.5, and they have won like 5 straight. They are on fire!
Yeah, I like Arkansas. They got blown out in the first matchup. I think they rebounded in a big way. And Illinois, I'm with you, plus the 3.5. Like them on the money line. They dominated Wisconsin in Champaign by 15-plus a couple of weeks ago. They're too athletic for Wisconsin.
Arizona's laying 13.5. It was at 15 a few hours ago. 13.5 now against Washington in Tucson.
I'm going to take the 13. You know, I was on Washington State. They didn't cover against Arizona. They don't have anything to play for. I know they're playing well, but I like Washington covering the big number. They covered against on Thursday night. They were covering, getting 9. They lost by 8. I like right. Washington to cover that.
Yeah. West Virginia and Kansas State, and Kansas State's getting 16.
Yeah, I can't take Kansas State. You know, West Virginia blew them out in the first matchup. They're playing well, 10th-ranked team. Kansas State sucks. I'm laying the wood.
Kansas State sucks, except the other night when I was like saying the same thing about him, and I was on Oklahoma as my top play. I had a really good week, killing it from Saturday to, you know, whatever, the 23rd, whatever day that was the date of the Oklahoma game. I was on Oklahoma in Manhattan. I always tell the story. I got the crabs in Manhattan, Kansas. And ever since then, I had bad luck betting on that team. Sure enough, they beat Oklahoma that night outright. I wanted to hurl. I really did. I wanted to hurl. So I don't trust them as far as you could spit either. All right. Let's see. I'm just looking for good games at this point tomorrow because all these other ones. How about this one? Creighton and Xavier in the Queen City. Creighton's laying 4.5 on the road against a 12-5 Xavier team that's been underplayed. They haven't played a lot of games because they were out forever with the COVID.
Yeah, I'm laying the 4.5 for Creighton. Don't like the game a lot, but I would lay the 4.5 for Creighton.
All right, so I'm just looking here, and I'm void of any other real excitement. What do you think of does Gonzaga cover the 25 against Loyola Marymount and BYU St. Mary's? That number's 8, BYU favored.
Yeah, I like St. Mary's plus the 8, and I think Gonzaga blows out their opponent this Saturday.
Loyola Marymount.
I think they blow them out this week.
All right, so Sunday.
They got blown out by BYU last Saturday.
Listen, there's hot chicks that go to school there. That's all that matters. Iowa and Ohio State and Columbus on Sunday. That I have no line. But who do you like? The Buckeyes at home? Do they finally get right?
No, I would take Iowa. I would take Iowa, whatever the line is. I think Iowa bounces back in a big way. They're all guard play, obviously. As those guards go, you know, led by Dwayne Washington, I can't buy into that. You know, against physical teams, they struggle. And they struggle with Michigan, struggle with Michigan State. Iowa's a blue-collar team. Luka Garza in the middle. I think they win that matchup.
Wow. I think Ohio State gets right against Iowa. Iowa, to me, has hit a wall. They've been getting spanked. They got spanked at Chrysler. I don't know. Villanova's at the haunted house at Hinkle in Indy against Butler. Butler last week came up big for me. We'll see. I got 10 seconds, Joe. Who do you like that one? Nova Butler.
I like Butler with the points in that matchup.
Whoa, look at you, Joe. Hey, Joe, 2-5 tomorrow, in-game live. Check out Going for the Two. Joe Lisi, good talking to you, brother. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Anytime, Scotty. Love the show.
So the G League's investigating a claim made by Jeremy Lin that he was called coronavirus during a game, according to reports. So they're looking into that. He spoke about the racism he believes the Asian American community continues to deal with and offered examples of his experiences. He said, being a 9-year vet doesn't protect me from being called coronavirus on the court. And then it goes on and on. Kerr's speaking out against it and applauding Jeremy for his words and echo his sentiments regarding racism against the Asian American community. It goes on and on. So big story with Jeremy Lin now in basketball circles, at least as well in this country now, G League, trying to make a comeback in the NBA. Right now, 76-69 Lakers. They lead with 2:35 left in the third at Staples against Dame Time and the Blazers. And then the Warriors, who seldom come out to play, 103-86 early in the fourth at the Chase in that city. So they're up on the Hornets. They got a nice lead at the start of the fourth. Heat beat the Jazz. Celtics finally win. They beat the Pacers by 6 and covered. Raptors cover. They beat the Rockets. Rockets have lost 10 in a row. Kings finally win a game, 110-107 over the Pistons. Suns beat the Bulls, 106-97. Clippers blew out the Grizzlies. Thunder big over the Hawks. Just so you know, tomorrow, Pacers-Knicks at the Garden. Cavs, Sixers in Philadelphia. Wolves, Wizards in D.C. Spurs host the Pelicans. Jazz at the Magic. Nuggets are in OKC at the Chesapeake. And Mavs, Nets. Anyway, Rangers beat the Bruins. Wild finally stopped the Kings' six-game winning streak, 3-1. Avs 3-2 over the Coyotes. There you go. I hit two of those games, Mafia. Go to Pharrell on a Bench for everything. Mafia's UFC picks for Fight Night, all the NHL, College Rack, NBA for the weekend. Have a kick-ass weekend, everybody. Good job, Mafia. Night.